Hi, my name's Emma Ansa. I am a vlogger showcasing Black-owned businesses in the Niagara region. I'm co-owner of the Karl Parks Collection, a lifestyle brand, and I'm also the news correspondent for the African Diaspora News Channel.
My name is Carlos Morgan. I'm a multi-award singer, songwriter, producer, recording artist. I am the owner of Soul Rock Music and Entertainment. I am a co-owner of the Karl Parks Collection. I am also a music educator, a recent master's degree graduate of community music, speaker, vocal coach, an all-around nice guy.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, you're in for a real treat. Usually, when you have this much talent, you try to do them separately and hear how they started, sustained, succeeded. The thing is, this pair are a couple. So even though they're on, you know, in two different places, that's just how it is sometimes when you're living in your purpose. I have the queen, Emma, who you might have seen on the African Diaspora News Channel. She's an influencer and she's crushing it right now. And her king, Carlos Morgan, who his brother's been singing since he was 11. Awards, I mean, so much to talk about. Let's get just right into it because people are going to say, it must be nice, you know, and that's a way for them to hate Carlos, just to let you know when they say that. But welcome to the Diversified Game. How are y'all doing?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And, you know, let's get into first, as a couple, how do we bring our greatness together and how do we keep, you know, sane? Because a lot of people, they say, Kellen, how do you and your wife, you know, work together and this and that? And they don't believe me when I tell them it's, you know, hella hard. I don't have like an easy fix, but talk about your brand and how you guys both put this together and, you know, what the purpose is before I get into the other accolades.
Well, regarding Karl Parks Collection, so Karl Parks, the name, is my birth name. When I was born, I was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And my birth mother, her name is Mary Parks. She gave me the name Karl Parks, and then soon after had relinquished custody, full custody to my father, my biological father. And when my father gained full custody of me from my biological mother, he changed my name to Carlos Morgan. And then, so fast forward to 2020, when the pandemic hit, I always had the name Karl Parks, and I wanted to do something that would honor the name of my birth, if you will. And I had a very tumultuous, traumatic upbringing, a lot of abuse on every level, severe abuse on every level as a child and as a teenager. And so, you know, I struggled throughout my life and, you know, in and out of therapy. But the one thing I always tried to make sure of was to find a way and someday find a way to honor my childhood and honor the name of the inner child in me, if you will, that I believe that we all have. So in 2020, when the pandemic hit, I had a couple of t-shirts that I had designed, one called the Soul Solidarity Foundation, another one called Star of My Inner Child. And the Star of My Inner Child is a C, with an eye in the middle, and above the eye is a small, I had a cubic zirconias to represent the star. And that represents the start of my inner child. And then the Soul Solidarity Foundation is a symbol that I came up, is with a record player with a, you know, the Black Power fist in the middle. And it represents Black music and Black artists in Canada. So I decided I had to figure out, you know, how am I going to make money? Because, you know, I'm a full-time artist and I need to find a way that I can, you know, bring in some kind of income in the meantime. So started putting out the shirts. I had, you know, some Starve My Inner Child t-shirts. I had some Soul Solidarity Foundation t-shirts. And I started, you know, saying, you know what, I'm going to just sell these t-shirts and see what comes of them. And then I approached Emma and I said, you know, Emma, I have this clothing brand line called the Karl Parks Collection. And let's work on it together. You know, let's build it together. Let's, you know, let's make it a something. Let's make it something, a project that we can work on together. So I'm the owner and president, founder, owner and president. You know, you'll be my co-president, you know, and brand ambassador and whatever other titles. And so together, we've created, since the first two that I created, we've created, I think, about 13 or 14 additional lifestyle, what we are calling lifestyle brands. And these brands include messages to uplift and inspire and encourage humanity. Admittedly, the majority of our brands are geared towards the Black community. And that is something that Emma and I, you know, strongly believe in. But we also realize that we also want to have brands that speaks to humanity on a whole. So that's my story of how the Karl Parks Collection is. Emma?
And I'll also add that we actually design them ourselves. We come up with the concept, we come up with the design, the messaging, we work very hard on it. And then we have a graphic designer that sort of brings it to life for us so that then we can then have them manufactured on garments. To answer your question about how do we do it, and you mentioned with your wife, it's hella hard. A lot of communication. And just having a clear understanding of that we can relate to, and we have the same interests, the same desires, the same passions, and we're able to bring that together. And it's been wonderful. We definitely are hoping to continue to grow the business. We're constantly coming up with new designs. We're very passionate about it, and we always want love to be the core element.
Yes, I want to also add to what Emma just said, that so though we've been a business for the past 3 years, we've also realized that we need, and I hope it's okay for me to say, but we also realized that we need support in terms of marketing and promotion. That's where Emma and I need help. And so we have a website, but we're getting a website completely redesigned, reconfigured. And then we're looking for someone else who can help us with our online social media marketing, online marketing, so we can draw more people to our site. And hopefully people, when they see our brands and they see the messaging and they see the work, and the time and the effort and the love, as Emma pointed out, that we put into the creations of the designs and the thought process that we put into the design and the messaging or the messages that we put into the design, that they'll feel encouraged and inspired to want to purchase them and wear them and represent it for, you know, themselves or, you know, and whoever they're spending time with. Because one of the things that we've noticed, that when people actually see the brands that we create, they will be like, wow, where is that? Where can I get that? And then they'll wear it, and then other people will ask. And we need more of that. But so although we've been in operation we officially became a business in July of 2021. So we started in 2020. We registered our business in 2021. So it's been about 2 years. We realized that we need support. And we're looking for that support so we can help to build our business. And again, it's just Emma and I do everything, you know, with the staff. So whatever support, and if there's anybody out there who hears this, sees this, if they you know, are looking to work with a Black-owned business in Canada at the same time, we'd love to have that conversation. So, yeah.
Well, I know now all my PR friends are going to hit me up, but they're going to probably hit you up. Hold on. We got it, PR folks. Just listen to good. This. Listen, what I like about, and let's say happy birthday. Somebody is turning 55, yeah. You know, and for everybody turning 55 this year. Oh, Stevie, be quiet. But happy birthday. But there's a limited edition collection for, you know, those who are turning 55. The shirt, they might show it on the screen somewhere between this interview. But, you know, I love that because, you know, 55. And I was telling Emma this the other day because of the audience and other people were like, wait, she's 55. 55 isn't dead. If you're blessed, you'll get there. If you're blessed, you'll see it. And there's a lot of ageism going on, you know, in politics and just in the world. But Carlos, you have been singing and doing music since 11. For that inspiring person who is like, I want to do music. He's been able to do it since he's 11. Was this like a Jackson 5 story where, you know, you hit a big break and you know, have always been able to just find, you know, shows? I know you also teach as well music, but give somebody a quick glimpse of how they can be a professional musician and pay the bills, because it's so hard being a creative sometimes.
Correct. And thanks for that. Thanks for the question. When I first started out, I started actually officially started singing in a band when I was 12. But, you know, I grew up singing in a church. I started singing in church when I was 8, and then joined my first band when I was 12. And that was in church, you know. Like, you know, we in the Black community, the Black diaspora, if you will, especially in North America, we come from a church. So that's, you know, where I started from, like millions of others in the Black community. And when I first started out, I wasn't getting paid at all. I was just doing it for the love. And then when I turned 16, I started getting in funk bands and R&B soul bands in Toronto and the GTA. And then when I turned in my early 20s, that's when I became a professional. I moved to New York for about a year. Before I moved to New York, I moved to Montreal, Quebec, and I was there for about a year. And then I came back to Toronto. And I started my recording career. And so I recorded demos for about 3 or 4 years in the early 90s. And then I got signed to an independent label and then put out my first album. And even through all that whole time, my main focus was I just want to sing. I didn't really understand the business. I knew about the business, but I didn't really understand the business because, you know, I thought, you know, like most young artists, when they look on TV and they see these artists making videos and they look like they're driving these big cars and, you know, flossing money and, you know, living in these beautiful homes, it's like, wow, that's what I want. I quickly realized that, oh, that's not how it is in the game. You know, it's about, it takes a lot of work, a lot of time and understanding and knowing the music business. So the one thing I've learned and what I encourage young artists to do now, which I find more young artists are taking the time to do, is learn and understand the business. If you want to make it in the music industry, starting out as a young artist, educate yourself about the music business, about the business of music, because it's true. It's 5 to 10% talent, and the 90% or 90+% is knowing the business, understanding the business, understanding what it is to be a songwriter, a publisher, understanding publishing, songwriting, mechanical royalties, the different roles of the music industry. You know, what's a manager, what's a booking agent, what's a publicist, knowing all of it, because the more you know you're aware and more young artists are aware and educated, they won't be taken advantage of, because the music business, the entertainment business on a whole, but the music business I find really, and it's unfortunate, but one of the things that the music business is known for is raping, figuratively and literally, artists, especially young artists. And unfortunately, female artists, women, are most vulnerable to being taken advantage of because they're women. And so, you know, and it's unfortunate. And that's one thing I talk to young artists, especially young women who want to become singers or become involved in the music business. I say, listen, you're a young woman, and this business have sharks that will eat you alive. You know, they will take advantage of you. They will rape you both figuratively and literally, and they'll do it in a way that's very cunning, right? Sometimes they won't, you know, they'll be sly and cunning and have really dark intentions. So you must be aware, you know, of what this business is about. Have people around you that you can trust. Keep your family nearby. Although, you know, there are members in our family that when they see, oh, my son or my daughter or my, you know, a relative of mine is making the business, you know, they want to try and step in and take on that same attitude and mindset of, oh, well, I'm going to take advantage of even somebody in my family that I see that is becoming successful. So young artists, be educated about the music business. That's number one. Number two, be passionate about your gift. And by being passionate about your gift, put in the time and energy to become better and perfection and learn more and be open, you know, have a humble attitude. Don't think you're the be all and end all because there's somebody else that could be coming up or someone that's just around the corner, your age and in your generation that could step on that stage and blow you out of the water. So humility is big. Education is big. And be passionate about your craft. Those are the lessons that I want to share with young artists who want to get into the music business.
You guys get in the game. I can't say it enough, but you've heard multiple people tell you about this industry, and it all goes back to having a team.
Right.
And your team ain't always mama, but you got a good team member that you're, you know, very close with. Emma, yes. Can you tell the people, you know, PR-wise and even what you're doing on YouTube now, is how long have you been doing that? What got you excited about, PR and even influencing?
So I started it in 2018, and how I started getting into PR and actually realized I had a knack for it and enjoyed it is with my sister. My sister's an author, and she had written her first book and wanted to have a launch party. And I, you know, took the initiative to coordinate the party and create flyers and promotional videos. And I realized I had a knack for that creative side of things. With my background being in finance, I didn't even realize I had that knack until, you know, we started doing it. And of course, when you were an indie, it's, you know, you sort of, it's a lot of it is DIY. So I went and I learned how to create promotional videos and marketing material. Then we coordinated the launch party, and it was a huge success. And then from that, I then went into creating and coordinating book signings for her. So we were all across the province of Ontario in different bookstores with signings. And then that was the launching pad for me. And then with people seeing the work, then more people reached out to say, hey, do you do this? I'd like you to help promote my business. So that's kind of how it started. And then once I moved out to Niagara and I started to notice a lot of Black-owned businesses coming into the Niagara region, I then launched the YouTube channel promoting Black-owned businesses in Niagara. And with already having the background and knowledge of how to promote things, it kind of just transitioned seamlessly into that. So I just realized I had a passion for promoting Black people, helping Black people, promoting Black businesses, and then doing the work and learning how to create that. Again, DIY, but I love it. I enjoy it.
And this is what many people say, you can teach somebody, and many companies would rather hire someone like you than someone who studied public relations in school, because they can teach, mold the way they want it done versus what school and the books the way that at least I did grad school like that. And I always tell people, you know, you can learn PR. Now, finance is probably what you should get your degree in. Just a tip, y'all. But can you talk about, you know, the number one mistake that the Black businesses, especially the smaller ones, have when it comes to maybe wanting services like you? Because they think that, hey, you can make me famous tomorrow for, you know, $5 or for free 99. I'll pay you once we blow up. You know, can you talk about some of the hurdles? We can educate the audience. Maybe you send this off to your next person who asks you to do something for free or for, you know, cheap. You know, what is that number one thing that they don't understand and that you keep having to repeat and teach?
You get what you pay for. And the challenge that I faced as, well, first of all, as a woman, is that oftentimes some of the men or males that are interested in my services want to pay me by taking me out to dinner or, you know, buying me an outfit or, you know, taking me to a few dinners. And, you know, and I have to come in assertive and strong and sort of really drive the message that I'm here for business. And if that's not what we're doing, then we may as well just part ways. That's the first thing. And then secondly, a lot in times, like you just referenced, is they don't want to pay. So it's, how about it? This is my budget, $200. What can you do with that? And then when I outline, well, here's all we can do, they're like, well, no, that's not enough. So I guess the lesson is to ensure that you stand firm on what it is that you have to offer. Know your value. Stand firm on what it is. Be uncompromising, because we as PR professionals, we know the work that it takes. We know what we have to put into to achieve those results for the client. So it's very important to be very firm and assertive on what it is. Make sure you have your contracts ironclad, put it in writing. Don't accept a handshake and a smile. None of that. Don't accept, you know, advances or dates or anything like that. Be very professional and come in that way. And that's the best advice I can give.
And Carlos, tell me this, because on the creative side, as a musician who has won real awards, you know, that are, you know, that people just dream to win. What is that about creatives? And, you know, did you ever, was that a learning curve for you? Because you did it at such a young age where, you know, I'm sure people were trying to sign this, sign that. But what is it about creatives and, you know, them building teams and then paying those teams? Does it block creativity to think about all the people you might have to pay to, because Jay-Z and, you know, big stars might have 3 or 5 publicists, different agents, road managers, but like, what is that? Because on behind the scenes, we're like, yeah, you got to pay. And a lot of artists are like, pay, that's kind of a burden.
Yeah. I went through some of that too, because there was a point in my life, in my career, that I didn't really understand. And as Emma just said, you pay what you get what you pay for, right? So I when you're an independent artist and you don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in a budget to pay for the right team or a team of people that could take your career to the next level, it can be very frustrating. It can be very it could be very frustrating, overwhelming. It can feel daunting. It could feel like, you know, having a constant barrier that you want to get over but you can't, because financially not having the money, not having the budget to pay someone like Emma, who could say, okay, well, my budget is like, you know, $5,000 to do a publicity campaign. And like $5,000 for a publicity campaign, my goodness, I could put that into this or I could put it into that. You know, and there have been times where I have paid, you know, for both publicity and radio support, I'm paying $3,000-$4,000 and I've got nothing. It was a waste of money. right? And so when you're an independent artist and my income predominantly is from live performances, and I'm working, I'm performing a lot, trying to, and saving that money so I could, you know, pay a publicist. And at the same time, the money that I'm making is to pay my living expenses, my personal expenses. So then I make this money and I pay a publicist, or I've had people invest in me as well. And I have to pay investors back. And then I say, okay, well, here's $5,000 to do a 3-month, 12-week publicity campaign, or a 12-week radio campaign, or whatever campaign it is. And then I get literally nothing, or I'll probably get one write-up or one interview or one radio station that will play my song. It's like, my goodness, man, it feels like the life gets sucked out of you. For me, you know, that's how I felt. Like, man, I spent all this time and money and energy and effort and hard work to pay somebody, and this is what I'm getting. And I always tell the person, whether it's a publicist or radio promoter, I say, listen, this is what I plan to do. I'm gonna pay you this. Now tell me before I give you this money that if this is not the right song, or this is not the right campaign, or this is not the right way to go about doing this, tell me so I will save the money and pay you when I know I'm in the right place to move forward. And then when I pay you, you can do all the things that needs to be done to take my career to the next level, to get my music out, for me to be seen and to be heard on a national, and even more so on an international level. And 9 times out of 10, I feel like I just paid somebody's rent. I just gave them free money. And it's, you know, so that's something I tell. Another thing I want to share with young artists. Again, and it's a part of learning the business and knowing the business, but, you know, doing your due diligence to know who's out there, what kind of work they do, their success rate. You know, those are the things that young artists need to do, because, man, when you're independent, and man, it's like, man, I've been at point, Kellen, in my career where it was like, okay, this money that I'm going to pay is going to be, I made the decision. Do I pay my rent, or do I pay for this, for my music? At times it's like, am I going to eat? Should I eat? Or it's about my music. And sometimes I've sacrificed my health and well-being for my music. I've done it many times, at points where I was almost evicted because I was so busy on, I've got to put music out, I got to do this, got to do this. Well, I'm not, and I was being completely irresponsible, but that's how passionate and how badly I wanted my music, to put my music out. And it was so badly I wanted to have success, because I believe in what I do. I believe in the music that I create and the music that I write. And I put all this time and energy into it, and finances and money into it, and then it just falls apart. And then it's like, and then I feel demoralized, because now it's like, well, why am I doing this? So I don't want to write a song. I don't want to practice. I'll sing, you know, but I feel like my legs have been knocked out from beneath me, because all this time and money and energy and effort that I put into, you know, creating something, and now I'm paying somebody to help me get it to the next level. And it's just like, I literally got screwed without any Vaseline.
Yeah, and just so the artist and those on the other side know, you know, no matter what you're paying, and it can get expensive, mm-hmm. there's always somebody paying more. And mm-hmm. that's what the problem is, even on this social media online game. You know, there's people spending $60,000 plus a month just to be number one in, you know, their Google search. And it's just at the end of the day, you're paying for people's time. With the success that both of you've had together, and, you know, with your separate ventures, what is a community give back that you two are doing, or that you plan on doing in the future?
So we have there are a few that we're passionate about, and we're still searching for one that speaks to you know, our brand and what we stand for, definitely will be in the Black community, whether it be youth, at-risk youth organizations, people in you know, in prisons, things like that. That's where we're sort of gearing towards give back. That those are the areas that we're passionate about, Black, rooted in Blackness, all things Black. Mm-hmm. And that's the, because I think one of the things that's lacking in our community is that that desire to commune, to build together, to grow together, to manifest and create generational wealth. And so we're very passionate about youth because, let's face it, when we're no longer above ground, it's going to be them that'll be picking up the baton and moving forward. So we want to make sure that we inspire and encourage and teach and mold the youth, the younger people. So those are sort of the organizations that we're kind of looking into, being partnering with, collaborating with, and giving back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I echo what Emma said. Youth is a huge component for us. And as a music educator who talks with a lot of youth about music and about music industry and about the music business and about music history, especially in Canada, there's a very deep and strong foundation of Black music history in Canada, but it's not widely known. Many of the contributors to the music industry in Canada and that laid the foundation for music in Canada through the Black community, it's not widely known nationally. And I will go as far as to say, to whatever extent, to degree, internationally. You know, we know, you know, you can name almost, you know, 90, 95% of a Black American artists anywhere in the world. Everybody knows who Michael Jackson is. Anywhere in the world, most people know around the world who Whitney Houston is. Most people know around the world who Prince is. Most people know, you know, from whatever genre of music. You're talking jazz, you're talking blues. American music established music around the world, in my opinion, right? American and all created by us as a people. And so Black people in Canada who have made contributions to music in Canada, and many have gone out into the world, you know, Oscar Peterson being one of them, I think is more widely known. Some people, I don't know if many people know he's from, born and raised in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, but he is one of the greatest musicians and jazz musicians in that ever existed in music. But you know, so many have come, there were many that came before him, and there so many have come after him that people, many people don't know about. So for me, being passionate about music and education and educating youth and educating Black youth is something that I'm passionate about. And as Emma said, you know, the youth community, young people, we're passionate about it, educating young people. As Emma also mentioned, prisons. We're also passionate when it comes to women's rights, specifically and predominantly Black women's rights or women's rights, if I'm saying that correctly. So these are things we're passionate about. You know, social justice. That's something else that we're passionate about. Emma and I have multiple conversations and discussions around social justice, social equity, racial justice, and especially that affects the Black community. And so any way that we can contribute, be it individually or collectively, and with the Karl Parks Collection, that we can support, encourage, or give back to any of these organizations that are trying to push the Black community forward, humanity forward as well. But again, we are Black people, and we are passionate about our community, and we see the issues and the plights and the problems that we have in our community. And so whatever we can do, even, you know, as we said earlier, is create brands that the people in our Black community can be like, yes, this is something that's positive that I could stand on, and this is a clothing brand company that I want to align myself with and work with to help spread the message of positivity for our people.
Awesome, awesome. And you are proof, and if the audience, if you don't know, because, you know, you are proof that Canadian music is bigger than Drake and The Weeknd, you know, and it can be wholesome and fun. And wrapping up, I want you guys to tell everybody, you know, any last words and where they can find you for more. There's, you know, I could go on all day about Carlos, about the trauma and how people can get over their traumas. And it's a lifetime thing sometimes to remind yourself, you know, I'm not what happened to me. But that's also maybe for his next song, next book, and next podcast as well. Yeah, yeah. But if you guys can let the people know.
That's a good one for a t-shirt.
The t-shirts you gotta, sometimes you gotta wear the pain, because it will remind you to, you know, just I'm here, but I'm unbroken, as the shirt says. Yes. You know, so yeah, give the people where they can find the music, the clothing, the, you know, everything that's coming out, and I'm gonna say it, and possibly the Canadian tour, but you'll have to follow them to find out more about that. You know, a great storyteller always has you want more, and you got to explore. So you guys have the floor. I'm going to be quiet.
How about you first?
Okay, so you can catch me on my YouTube channel, EA Public Relations. For the Carl Parks Collection, our website is Carl Parks. It's spelled CarlParkes.com. No, Carl, as Carl Parks Collection, we are... Pardon? Collections.com. So CarlParkes collection.com. And as Carlos mentioned, we are in the process of redesigning the website, but the one we currently have is still functional. You could still go shopping on it. You can also hit me on my Instagram, EMMAA_ANSAH, ANSAH. Our Carl Parks Collection Instagram is Carl Parks, Carl, CARLL_Parks. PARKES. You can DM us there. Is it collection? Collection. I'm sorry. CARLL_PARKES collection. And you can DM us there if you want to purchase directly through us. That's where you can get me.
And for me, I could be reached. I have a website, CarlosMorganMusic.com. That website is up there, but it will be coming down in the next month or two as I'm getting ready to release my new double album. So I'm going to have a brand new website, but people can go to the website and hear some of my music on there currently now. You can find my music on Spotify, Apple Music. You can go to my YouTube page, Carlos Morgan, and please watch the videos, please, and subscribe and like. Thank you. And in terms of Instagram, I would give my Instagram page, and you could go Carlos Morgan Music. Unfortunately, Instagram has restricted my account because I was quoting Bible scriptures, and that's something else that Emma and I are very passionate about. We're passionate about the Word of God. We're passionate about Bible. We understand and respect that people have different beliefs and ideals, but something that Emma and I are very passionate about is God, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God, and we are not afraid nor ashamed to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you go on my Instagram page, you'll see, you know, all kinds of things on there, and I could be, you can also reach me on my Facebook page, carlos.morgan.562. And if you want to contact me on email for performances or speaking engagements or workshops or presentations, you can contact me at carlosmorganmusic@hotmail.com. Once again, that's carlosmorganmusic@hotmail.com. And our Instagram page is, for Carl Parks, as Emma stated, is Carl Parks Collection, CARLL_PARKES collections. So, yeah.
And the website is beautiful. you know, for such a beautiful website. Yeah, you guys heard it. He said Hotmail. So later, that's going to be able to be sold for, you know, a lot of money, because we were Hotmail, Hotmail, you know. You might as well said, what, GeoCities, Lycos. So we can go back to the old school internet days. But yeah, we ran out of time, y'all. You guys make sure you, if you follow through this whole time, to like, share, and subscribe. Share this game, because it will change somebody's life. Y'all, yes, be blessed.
I'm Kai Gabiam from the Diaspora Channel, a lover of Africa. If you love Africa as well, and you would love to visit one day or to relocate to Africa, there is a course out there for you. And this course is My First Trip to Africa, a course well put together by a seasoned traveler, Kellen Cash Coleman. This course is designed to prepare you to travel better, which will save you both time and money. And the great news is this course costs only $20, guys. It can't get any better. Go right now and enroll to this course at www.diversifygame.com.